You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Welcome to Ask a Black Doctor. This week we're going to be discussing pediatric vaccines and COVID-19 symptoms in children. Doc, how are you doing today?
Man, I am doing well. I am doing well. Excited to talk about this. It's exciting for some of us who have kids that are under 12.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited for the exact same reasons. This is huge news. I got a lot of young ones, some nieces and nephews that I'm happy now will have options.
Yeah.
Options. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. So children ages 5 through 11 now can get the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Is it the same as the Pfizer vaccine for ages 12 and older?
No, actually. They're different in that you get a smaller dose. The adult version. So okay. What we know is that, so there's only one that's approved right now, right? It's the Pfizer vaccine that's currently approved. And that one has, the adult version has about 30 micrograms of the mRNA,
okay.
Whereas the adult version, so 12 and older is what I mean. And
gotcha.
Then the 5 to 11 has about 10 micrograms, which is one third of that dose. I am super excited, like I said earlier, to see that kids at least 5 to 11 are getting vaccinated.
Yeah. And I know there might be, you know, additional skepticism about the time period in which it took. It's safe to say, and this is my assumption, that they weren't working on a single vaccine for a specific age group at the time. They're working on vaccine coverage for everyone. So there had to be a series of testing that had to take place.
With
the younger demographic for us to get to this place where now we have one ready, right?
That's right. It takes a while to gather all this data. And you know what? To be honest, kids don't typically get as sick as adults when they catch COVID-19. And it's the same with the flu, right? Kids don't typically get as sick as adults when they get the flu. But anyway, so the threshold to say that these kids ought to get this vaccine has to be higher in this age group than in the older age group. So it makes sense. And that's why it took that much longer for the approval process to happen. And you're also not going to roll out a vaccine for kids before you roll it out for adults, right?
Right. Do we have any news about any of the other companies? Is Moderna working? I'm assuming Moderna and also Johnson & Johnson are working on getting something approved.
Yes. I know that Moderna submitted their data for, interestingly, Moderna submitted their data for 6 to 11-year-olds. So I'm not sure when that will come out, when that will get approved, but it's being reviewed and we'll know soon. Hopefully sooner rather than later. And same thing with Johnson & Johnson, right? They're also working to get their vaccine approved. And we should always state that, hey, neither you or I are invested in any of these companies.
No.
We're not speaking to any of these companies. We're just here to provide information for folks.
Right. I am not getting a check from either of these companies. not a single one. So when it comes to the dosing, I know with Johnson & Johnson, for adults, it was a single dose.
Mm-hmm.
For Moderna and Pfizer, there were two doses. And when we spoke in previous episodes, you were saying that there can be several weeks in between the doses. Possibly, if it's a full month, that's fine. With this particular application for the kids, I heard something about like a 3-week window.
Yeah, so you're right in that it's a two dose primary series, and they're given 3 weeks apart. And that's what was shown. That's what was studied, and that's what was shown to be effective.
Okay. And is it the same way it is for the adults, where the first shot gives a particular amount of coverage, and then the second one kind of, you know, seals the deal?
Boosts, exactly. Yeah. That's it. That's okay. It right there.
Cool. So there's also conversations right now about boosters for adults. Do you see something similar happening for children? And do we have any idea of how long before between doses? I think we initially you said possibly for adults, maybe like 9 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that question speaks to the issue at hand, right? Booster shots. Do we need booster shots? Why do we need booster shots? Mm-hmm. etc. Our immune systems weaken as time goes, right? From the time you're vaccinated. So your immune system is entirely revved up, say 2 weeks after your initial primary series. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, the amount of protection that you have is different,
right?
Because time is like wear and tear on a vehicle. So I suspect that at some point there will be a requirement for kids to get booster shots, kind of like what we do with the flu shot every year, right? We get a flu shot every year. I suspect that will be required. Kids will be encouraged or even required to get a booster shot maybe once a year.
Okay. So just so the audience knows, where can we take children to get this vaccine? Is it the same places where they would get other vaccines?
Yeah. So man, right now that's a good question, right? Because I'll share a personal story in that I was trying to get my 11-year-old vaccinated this weekend, and everywhere I called, I could not get him an appointment.
Wow.
Eventually, what we did is, knowing that the Selwood Medical Clinic was running a vaccine clinic at Oaks Park, we ended up driving out there on a Saturday evening, just after their vaccine clinic had ended.
Mm.
And knowing very well that everybody who signs up for an appointment doesn't always show up for the appointment.
Right.
Most people, yeah, there will be one or two people that don't show up. So we showed up, and sure enough, they had an extra dose. And so that's how he ends up getting his vaccine.
Wow.
But I don't think it should be that hard, right? I don't think people should be driving around the city looking for vaccines.
Right.
What I will say is that now that the initial rush that people had over this weekend trying to get vaccinated is probably going to start going down, there are quite a few places that are going to be doing vaccine clinics, especially this weekend. And if you look on the Multnomah County website, you'll see a whole bunch of vaccine events that are going on. With ERCO, with the Rosewood Initiative, with the Latino Network of Rockwood. There are so many vaccine clinics going on this weekend that anyone who wants to get vaccinated should be able to get a vaccine. The other thing is, ask your pediatrician, ask your local pharmacy. These should have vaccines available. I saw an article, actually, I don't remember which publication this was, but I saw an article talking about how Kaiser and Rite Aid and a few other local pharmacies were the first ones to get these vaccines and were making them readily available to folks.
That's amazing. It does say something, though, that it's hard for people to find vaccines for their children right now, that people are, you know, less vaccine hesitant. They're making a mad dash to get their youth vaccinated. That's great. That's actually great news.
You know what? We actually saw the same thing early on, right? We saw the same when adult vaccines became available to the general public.
Yeah.
We always have this 33%, one third of the population that's really excited, that feels very motivated to get vaccinated, because it's they feel some sort of responsibility to themselves to protect themselves and, of course, to the rest of society. So this one third of the population is gung-ho, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And then we have another third that, yeah, they will get it, but they're not in a rush to get it. And they will get it.
They'll get around to it.
They'll get around to it when it's when it's convenient. And we should make it as convenient and as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. And then there is also a small segment of the population, of course, that is not interested in getting vaccinated.
Yeah. I think I was in the second segment. I was like, okay, I trust it. I'll get around to it. I'll make some time. I did, prioritize just staying in the house, though, as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even after being vaccinated, people can go back and listen to some of our older episodes where I'm just still leery about being around people. It's like, I don't know. Doc said I'm good, but this is a family gathering. Everybody's inside. I don't know. So what are some of the recorded side effects?
So the side effects that we see in kids are similar to those that we see in adults. The most common being just the mild, body aches that you get, the soreness at the site of injection. Some people will get a little bit of a rush, and some people may get rarely headaches, rarely fevers. But so that's the most common thing, even in the adult population. What we always talk about is anaphylactic reactions, meaning reactions that show that you are allergic to the vaccine. And those are exceedingly rare. They're so rare that, man, I think I've said this plenty of times, you're more likely to be struck by lightning walking outside than actually getting an anaphylactic reaction. But they do occur. And the good thing is they're very easily treatable, right? It's an EpiPen, and then you do just fine. You recover just fine. You know, there's another thing that we talked to, that you brought up the previous question where you said, where's a good place to get vaccinated? I forgot to mention that one of the best resources that we have, right, is the getvaccinated.oregon.gov website. That gives you every single place that you can get vaccines, whether it's adult or booster or pediatric doses.
Excellent. What are the long-term impacts, if any, of kids getting the vaccine? I know, there are a lot of conspiracies out there. There's a lot of concern about your RNA and your DNA being rewritten and, having an impact on your reproductive organs. When it comes to the kids and this brand new that came out of nowhere vaccine, what will it do to our kids? Will it alter their DNA?
So I'll start off by saying, don't listen to Aaron Rodgers.
I was saving him too, because I definitely want to make sure we have a conversation around the way he answered that question. I'm immunized.
Oh, man. That is crazy. That is crazy. But hey, I should answer your question.
Right? Yes.
What are the long-term impacts of these vaccines for kids? So there is no data to show that there are any long-term impacts on kids, right? We know that we have data from the adult population dating back to June, July of 2020. And we haven't seen any long-term impacts or ramifications from these, especially the mRNA vaccines. Again, these vaccines do not interact with your DNA. They have no way of changing your DNA. Your DNA is contained in the nucleus, and these vaccines do not enter the nucleus. So it'll be like saying, I think it's as absurd and as impossible as saying that I gave birth to my mother.
Got you.
Yeah. So,
right.
So it is not possible for these vaccines to alter your DNA, and likewise, they have no way of impacting your your ability to reproduce, so they don't affect your fertility at all, whether you're a man or a woman non-binary. There is no way that these vaccines interact with your fertility organs.
I'm really curious as to where some of these some of this junk science comes from. With the analogy you just gave, the fact that there is no remote way, there's no remote possibility of it altering your DNA.
Yeah.
Why is this such a popular, talking point? And why are people so quickly to latch onto it? Like, this is one that's been around for a while, and it won't go away.
It won't, man. It, no matter what we do, no matter what, it's, I think what we have to do is, I listened to an interesting story over the weekend about someone saying the best way to convince someone to share information so that people can change their minds is to ask them about their willingness to have an open and honest conversation, their willingness to say, hey, are you open to hearing new information that may not be in line with what you think? So if their answer is no, they're not willing to have to listen to information that may not be in line with what they have to say, then the conversation ends there, because the more you talk, the more entrenched they will be in their ideas. So, yes, I've heard this over and over and over and over again, and it's true, man. I have family in Zimbabwe and in South Africa and friends all over the world, who say this, who tell me about, oh yeah, man, I'm planning to have kids, so I'm not gonna take this vaccine. I'm like, wait a minute. Where did you get that?
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That's where it's in our WhatsApp message groups.
Yeah. Or, you know, I want to be a grandparent someday, so I'm not going to have my kids take this vaccine. I'm like, wait a minute. What does that have to do with anything?
Unbelievable. So let's do talk about Aaron Rodgers real quick, because he made a statement when he was asked months ago, when he was initially asked about his vaccine status, and he said, yeah, I'm immunized. I'm not going to delve into what the NFL's responsibility should have been, knowing he was unvaccinated, and the breaks that they gave him, and the jeopardy that put other players in, and just, you know, how unfair it was. But that response, yeah, I'm immunized, what does that mean? Like, can you please draw a clear distinction between vaccinated and saying I'm immunized? What was he trying to communicate there?
Man, he was lying. Period.
Flat out. Okay.
Flat out lying. That's, and there's no other way to say it, right? he was being deceitful. Period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really sad that he was not held accountable, because what it communicates to kids especially is that it's okay to lie, as long as you get away with it, or if as long as you're in a position to not to be held accountable, that the truth doesn't matter. But hey, as we've seen with this situation, the truth does matter.
Right.
Yes, the NFL refused to hold him accountable, but the truth does matter. And now we know the truth, that he was listening to Seth Rogen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Which is absurd. I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know which medical school Seth Rogen went to.
Joe Rogan. Yeah.
Joe Rogan. Rogan. Yeah.
Exactly. Dr. Joe Rogan is who he was checking in with.
Yeah. So it's quite absurd, right? That when you have a problem with your mechanic, when you have a problem with your car, you go to a mechanic and your mechanic tells you, man, you know, you need new brakes. You're not going to say, oh, you know what? Let me go and ask a plumber. Let me go and ask the guy at the deli where I buy my sandwiches,
right.
Whether or not I need new brakes, right? you get the new breaks.
Mm.
Yeah. So let's be respectful of what we bring to the table, what right. the scientific community brings to the table, what the medical community brings to the table, and let's be respectful of that, and let's listen to the experts. And leave it at that. So he was being deceitful. So in this case, being immunized means that, you know, you got vaccinated and you're fully vaccinated, and that is not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It was funny for him to use that particular word as kind of like a blanket protection. Oh yeah, I'm immunized. I've decided to use alternative methods to get to a place where I am not immunized, and then you end up contracting COVID.
So I'm sure you heard the follow what he immediately said after that, which was, I got monoclonal antibodies, I got ivermectin, I've been taking zinc, and I've been taking vitamin C. Those are the four things he mentioned. I think he mentioned one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, these are the things that put a lot of people in danger. These are the things that, because he gives the impression that these four or five things that he mentioned work in preventing you from getting sick. And that is far from the truth.
It's amazing. You would prefer to take all of that versus just getting an injection.
Yeah. It's quite sad, because the harm that follows that, right? The harm that comes with those statements, with someone like Aaron Rodgers, who has the platform that he has, it's detrimental to society.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's one thing to put that information out there, but we've seen time and time again, it's a lot harder to take it back.
Yeah, right?
It's a lot harder to unsay or repeat or draw clarification after the fact.
Yeah,
the first thing you've said, it's already gone out there. It's got legs. It's all over the place. Man, so something else that popped up recently and I've been waiting to ask you about is COVID toes.
Ah.
COVID toes. So for anyone that does not know about COVID toes, this was brought up in a meeting, strategizing meeting for this podcast. Shout out to Charlene. And I was like, what are we talking about here? Initially, I thought it was a joke. COVID toes. What do you mean COVID toes? What are you talking about? And then I Googled it. Google image search. Holy smokes.
Scary, right?
It is scary. It is scary. Could you tell us a little bit about COVID toes? And I'm just now hearing about it last week. Is this something we've been seeing the entire time and there just wasn't a lot of conversation about it? Or was it something that around, like, now we're tying it to COVID? We just didn't know what it was like. Could you give us a little bit of information on that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Talking about this, this is why it's important to get vaccinated, right? So that you can prevent all these things. So it's a sequela or common side effect of getting infected with COVID.
Mm.
So it's a dermatological response to getting infected with COVID. And we see this in, so essentially you get discoloration of your limbs. It could be your toe, it could be your fingers, it could be, I've seen this with, I've seen it more in fingers than in toes personally, but I've read about it in all limbs.
Okay.
So the issue is it happens with a lot of virus infections. It just so happens that COVID is one of those things that causes this. We have seen this from the very beginning. I actually had a friend who had COVID back in June of last year, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her pinky finger and her ring finger on the right-hand side turn purplish. from COVID, and it goes away eventually. But in some folks, you know, it can be scary. It can be really, really scary, and it's yet another reminder that, you know, we need to vaccinate as many people as possible to prevent this, especially kids. So you can imagine a kid saying, "Hey, mom, my toes look purple," or "Hey, dad, my toes look purple," or "My fingers look purple," and you can imagine how scary that is.
Yeah,
because it could be their only presenting symptom, right? They could have very mild symptoms of, you know, they could have mild respiratory symptoms and have purple toes or purple fingers. That's scary.
What are some of the other symptoms of it? Discoloration, is there swelling? So, are there any lesions or anything? Like, what are other things associated with COVID toes or COVID, you know, fingers as well?
Yeah, so what I should mention is that it happens at any age, right? It could be little ones. It could be you know, 5 to 11 year olds. It could be 12 to 17 year olds. It could be adults. Some of the things that you may see, you may have. So the discoloration is one. The limbs may feel very, very cold, and they may. You may experience pain with that, as though pressure-like pain, as though someone is pressing on the extremity or the limb. Yeah.
Man. Okay.
So get vaccinated.
Yes, please. Yeah. Oh man. So it says there was something else I wanted to ask you about. MISC.
Yeah. So that's a good, that's a good question, right? So the MISC is the multi-system inflammatory syndrome that occurs in children. And we saw it in kids that get COVID-19.
Okay.
One of my colleagues, Judy Guzman, who was a senior health advisor as myself at the Oregon Health Authority, is one of the experts in this in the state of Oregon, and she has written one or two papers with regards to speaking to this. So it's a condition that occurs when there is, as the name suggests, there is an inflammatory syndrome that occurs due to a viral infection. In this case, COVID-19.
Okay.
And it can lead to multi-system or multi-organ failure, requiring hospitalization, and maybe even leading to death. And as you know, we've had over 500 cases of kids die from COVID-19 in the country. Granted, it's not the same magnitude as the 700,000 adults that have died, but for those families that have lost, you know, those kids, it's very, very meaningful. It's not a theoretical possibility. It's real. It's
right.
Tangible.
Right.
So make sure that you get vaccinated. Make sure that your kids are vaccinated so as to prevent the possibility of getting this multi-system inflammatory syndrome.
So much like in adults, everyone listening, please understand it's much more dangerous. We're all at much more risk. Our children are much more risk not getting vaccinated. The different things that they can encounter by actually contracting COVID versus what you think may happen as a reaction of them getting vaccinated.
That is true. That is solid truth right there.
Man. So before we close out, I want to remind everyone, please take a look at the information we have posted in the description for the podcast. This week, we have a list of COVID vaccine events starting on Friday. So you'll hear us on the air Friday morning. If you subscribe to the podcast, it'll get a notification 8 a.m. Friday morning. There's a vaccine clinic taking place that starts at 11 a.m. on Friday. And there's a list of clinics and events going all the way until November 18th. So please, 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 if you haven't been vaccinated yet, if you are looking to have your child vaccinated, take a look at the information that we have here in the episode description. And we hope everyone's safe, and we look forward to getting back on track with you guys next week.
All right. All right. Thanks, my man.
Thank you.
Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.